Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Carl Espray, CEO of Contango Holdings. Welcome back, Carl. How's things?
Yeah, very good. Phil, how are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Busy as normal, but getting there slowly. So today we just saw the news of a placing to raise $7.5 million to fund production and growth strategy. Firstly, well done on that. And obviously, secondly, it was oversubscribed, which I think in this market is a feat in itself. Do you want to talk us through the capital raise and what the funds will be used for, please?
Yes, thanks, Bill. Yes, it was oversubscribed. There was a lot of interest in the raise, so we scaled back some people, but we took £7.5 million. The reason for the raise was, obviously, I think we've been talking to the market the last few months about how much demand there is for coal in the region, how much more flexible we need to build this mine in order for us to be able to not just mine the coking coal that we're looking at, but also to give us options on thermal coal. So that requires more capital. It requires different villages to be moved as we increase the footprint of the potential pit. It also requires us to expand the civils work to allow us to actually add further wash plants down the line. And so we've expanded the scope of the mine, and some of that's included in the use of proceeds from this. There's also been overruns in cost. We're in an inflationary environment. That should be no surprise. So we've had some overruns on the cost base. For the last few months, we've been working on shareholder loans. So the founders have lent money to the company. That's all been disclosed. And now it's time for us to repay those loans so that we don't have an encumbered company with loads of debt. So part of the proceeds from this fundraise will be to pay back those loans, allow us to then fully fund the mine with loads of expandability and loads of optionality and no need to come back to the market, because there is now no need for us to come back to the market, to be clear.
So, Carl, we can look forward to revenues then into 2023 then in the coking coal for sure.
Yes.
Because you've already got an offtake agreement going there. What's the likelihood more offtake agreements? And also, obviously, everybody's interested in the thermal coal as well in terms of an ability to create revenue going forward.
Yes. Yeah, so from the infrastructure we'll purchase at the moment, we have 240,000 tons per annum of coal, of which we've already offtaked 120,000 tons of that. So we've got half of it left to sign up with offtakers. We've got multiple offtakers asking us for offtakes. In fact, you know, compared to a year ago when we spoke, we are now ranking offtakers and choosing which of the offtakers we prefer. We're in discussions with one offtaker at the moment. That'll be our preferred option, which will be kind of finalized in the coming weeks. But really, I don't mean to be flippant, but offtake at this point is not an issue in the coal space. There is so much demand for a limited product that, you know, what's important for us is to keep our head down and get this mine producing. Like I said before, we're trying to build the mine that it's been rejigged in order to be much more expandable, much more easily. And so we want to not only just do the 240,000 tons, but we want to very quickly announce that we've started the expansion to 480,000 tons and beyond. And even at that level, I don't think there'll be any issue with us finding homes for those incremental tons.
Okay, interesting stuff. So this is all based on the size and the increase of the wash plants. We're away from the turning coking coal into coking batteries, or are you still planning to go down
that line? No, that's still part of the plan, but we were never going to fund that through equity. That was always going to be funded through cash flow from the mine and prepayments from off-takers. The end market for coking coal is coke. So some of the off-takers we're talking to want to buy coking coal and transport that, and others are looking at collaborations on coke batteries in order for us to turn the coking coal into coke, either at our site or their site. That's what we use to rank preferred off-takers or not, people that are willing to invest in infrastructure, invest in prepays, or obviously preferred off-takers to other guys who just want to take the coal at the market price. But again, there are multiple off-takers we're talking to at the moment. So there's not, you know, that should not be a concern to anyone, us finding an off-take for the product at the moment.
Yeah. So you're now a fully funded, effectively coal mine production facility that in 2023 should produce. You expect that you will produce the 240,000?
Well, we'll certainly hit the run rate of 240,000 tons in 2023. But obviously, as you ramp up a mine, you don't produce from day one at the full nameplate capacity. But one should expect that within 2023, you know, we'll be hitting the point where we're running at 240,000 tons a year.
Okay, so this is 20,000 tons a month, basically, is what you're aiming at.
Yeah, is what we'll get.
That's washed coal.
That's washed coal, yes. So the run of mine coal is higher than that.
Yeah, okay. And I mean, you've got no shortage of coal, just to remind everybody. How much coal in totality do you think you have in these licenses?
We've got over 2 billion tons, so hundreds of years of coal at that rate.
Okay. So we'll all be dead by the time this is all dug up?
That's for sure. Even with advances in modern medicine, I suspect we'll all be long dead.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
Yeah, you know, obviously we're looking at logistic solutions for the thermal coal, but I mean, because, you know, there's some argument that the rise in the thermal coal price is less sustainable than the rise in the coking coal price. But certainly, of the 2 billion tons, it's not all coking coal. It's about 30% coking coal. And that coking coal will be needed for generations still, because as long as the world's making steel and chrome, it needs coking coal to go into those smelters.
Yeah, I think everybody's going to be surprised how long we're going to need coal for, to be honest with you. The thermal stuff, well, I mean, I think it's at least another decade, maybe two decades before it has to be turned off completely, or it will be turned off completely.
There's probably some truth to that. Obviously, we're living through that right now.
Yeah. So anyway, as Phil said before, congratulations that you managed to raise that much money in this market. I think it's proof really that the finances and or the financial possibilities in this project are exceptional. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been able to raise the money. So, you know, I think it's great in this market, and we look forward to 2023 being the year that, you know, you really do produce significant amounts of revenue and start being EBITDA positive. I presume if you hit this runway, the company is going to be EBITDA positive at that point.
Absolutely. EBITDA, cash flow positive, EBITDA positive, and obviously net income positive as well.
Yeah, great.
Carlos Bray, CEO of Contango Holdings, thanks very much for your time.
Brilliant. Thanks, Phil. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Carl.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.